Harry, I must tell you. I was passing the tobacconist this morning, just as he was dressing his window, and the thought struck me that he might put your picture in, so I ran in and asked him. He said he would, if he could have it at once, so I came and got it. He found a frame and wrote out a ticket and asked after you. No one could have been kinder. Oh, you must go and have a look at it.
I've seen it.
I shouldn't be at all surprised if it gets immediately sold like that.
However, for weeks it lays exposed in the window and never draws a crowd nor causes a sensation of any kind. The sole immediate result is that Priam changes his tobacconist and the direction of his promenades, until one day...
Priam! It's been sold for 5 guineas!
What has?
Your picture, today! Here is the money.
For £5?
Yes, isn't it splendid? And to think my Henry up in my attic! Of course, I always did think it was a beautiful picture, didn't I?
Yes, dear, but who bought it?
Oh, I think it was the landlord of the Elk Hotel public house down on the river. He liked it, as his public house is so clearly plain in it. The tobacconist tells me the landlord has ordered a big gold frame for it, and it'll hang in the saloon bar.
However, the eccentric and notorious landlord has his career as a patron of the arts unfortunately cut short by an order signed by his doctors for his incarceration in a lunatic asylum. All Putney has been saying for years that he will end in the asylum, and all Putney is right. Now, closely consider number 29 Werter Road, with its pristine white-painted window frames, its Oxford blue front door and pointed portico over it. Imagine the living room inside being common in a pleasant Putneyish way, with too realistic wallpaper, hot brown furniture with ribbed legs, a carpet with the characteristics of a retired governess who has taken to drink, and a black cloud on the ceiling over the incandescent burners. 2 years later, Priam and Alice are cosily settled in this room one December evening about to have tea. A kettle moans over a spirit lamp. Alice is cutting bread for toast. The fire is of the right redness for it, and a toasting fork lays handy. Priam is happily rolling cigarettes and placing each one on the mantelpiece when...
Who can that be? Oh, I'll get it.
Is this Mr. Henry Leakes?
It is.
Oh!
We'd better go in then, Mother.
Lord?
Yes, you may say Lord, but we are determined to get in. Now, where is Mr. Henry Leake?
What is going on out here?
Oh, is it? Oh, Henry, it is you, isn't it?
What?
I'm his wife, ma'am. I'm sorry to have to tell you that I'm the rightful Mrs. Henry Leake, and this here is my son John, come to see we get justice.
I think you all should come in and sit down quietly.
All right. John? You see, ma'am, he married me just 30 years ago, and 4 months after my son John there was born, he just walked out of the house and left me. I'm sorry to have to tell you this. Yep, I'm sorry I am. But there it is. And never a word had I ever given him. There was I hoping he'd come back, and there I was with his little child, and not a word but that he was on the continent, and I couldn't go traipsing about with a baby, and what would he do if I had have turned up like that? For I'm sorry to say that many a time he's beaten me, ma'am. Yes, with his hands. But he was mine, for better and for worse.
I never saw this lady in my life, and I'm absolutely certain I never married her. I never married anyone. Well, except, of course, you, Alice.
Then how do you explain this, sir? A certificate of the marriage of Henry Leake, valet, and Sarah Featherstone, spinster, at a registry office in Paddington.
Let me see. One of Leake's damn escapades. Madam, I know nothing about it.
Do you really recognise my husband?
I wouldn't say that I recognised him as he was, no more than he recognises me after 30 years. Last time I saw him, he was only 22 or 23. But he's the same sort of man. and he has the same eyes. Besides, I heard 25 years ago that he'd gone into service with a Mr. Priam Fahl, a painter or something, him that was buried in Westminster Abbey. And everybody in Putney knows that this gentleman was valet to Mr. Priam Fahl.
I suppose you'll not deny that Priam Fahl wouldn't be likely to have two valets named Henry Leake.
I think we'd all better have some tea.
Yes, sir, you may shrug your shoulders, but you can't shrug us out of existence. Here we are, and you can't get over us. You are my father, and I presume that a kind of respect is due to you. Yet how can you hope for my respect? Have you earned it? Did you earn it when you ill-treated my poor mother? Did you earn it when you left her with the most inhuman cruelty to fend for herself in the world? You are a bigamist, sir, a deceiver of women.
Would you mind just toasting the bread?
Yes.
And please don't burn it. Suppose you were to sit down on this footstool.
I've never laid eyes on the woman before. Never laid eyes on her.
Of course, madam, you have all our sympathies. The discovery is just as great a blow to us as it is to you.
One lump or two, Mrs.
Oh, one, please.
And as a result, you are now living here with this man in immoral circumstances.
Could you pass this cup to your mother?
Oh. I'll get a cloth.
Sorry.
Oh, well. Here, let me mop it up with this serviette.
And while she mops, Priam rushes out into blustery, inclement weather without an overcoat to wander around the uncharted groves of Barnes Common, uttering soliloquies in a language that lacks delicacy.
Does he mean to return?
Who? Henry? Well, I don't think so. You see, he's a rather peculiar man. I can say now he isn't here. And when your mother talked of his cruelty, well, I understand that. He can be a very good man, but...
You mean that he's also hurt?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Meanwhile, Priam, ignoring the wind and the rain, tramps about the common mulling over recent events. The purchase of his picture by the lunatic landlord of the Elk 2 years back. Then his discovery that the frame maker in the high street knew a man who would be disposed to buy such pictures as Priam could paint, and the subsequent transactions between him and the frame maker that had developed into a regular trade, with Priam delivering each of his paintings at intervals, and Priam usually receiving £10 per canvas with no questions asked.
I remember Leek twisted my arm, kept me without money and locked me in the cellar.
Oh, don't. I know all you can tell me because I've been through it myself.
You don't mean he's threatened you with the flat iron?
If threatening was all.
Then he's not changed in all these years.
I would say he's got worse, if anything. But then he can be the nicest person too at times.
Yes. He was always so changeable. So queer.
Queer, that's it. I think he's not quite right in the head. There isn't a morning that goes by when I don't wake up thinking, is this the day they'll come and take him off?
Take him off?
Yes, to Hanwell or Tooting or wherever. So, if you can persuade him to go with you, then you are welcome. But I have to tell you, he's very strong-like. But you do have your son here to help you. Though Henry does have a tendency to leap out at you all of a sudden. I also must say, this house and all the furniture is mine. He has nothing.
Still tramping, Priam dwells on the fact that at first he did live in daily expectation of an uproar, a scandal in the art world, visits of police and other inconveniences. But it was difficult to believe that the pictures he sold would never come beneath the eye of a first-class expert. But over the last year or so, he has gradually subsided into a sense of security, for no discovery has occurred. He has been happy in the untrammelled exercise of his gift, happy in having all the money that his needs and Alice's demand, happier now than he was in the days of his glory and wealth. Alice has been amazed at his power of earning, and also she has seemed, little by little, to lose her suspicions as to his perfect sanity and truthfulness. But, lo, the dog of fate has woken up in this disastrous eruption of the early sins of the real leak. What can he do? Nothing is the truth, but to rely on Alice, that incomparable woman. And it is back to her that his tortured soul retreats as the storm increases.
The fact is, he ought to be prosecuted for bigamy. That's what ought to be done.
And the blue door soon opens to evacuate the visitors from number 29. A little while later, it does the same to admit Priam back in, sheepishly, from his wanderings.
Henry, is that you come back?
Oh,
you are soaked right through.
Have they gone?
You went out without an overcoat in such weather.
Are they still here?
No, they have gone. Come on, let's get you into the hot bath, or I'll have you coming down with pneumonia.
And are they coming back?
No, I don't think they will be back. I think they've had enough, and I think they know now it's best to leave well alone.
Alice, I assure you, it's all a mistake. I've never seen the woman before.
Yes, dear. Of course it is. And of course you haven't. And let's hope there won't be any more where she came from.
And Alice immediately ushers him upstairs into a hot bath. A few days later, a machine draws up to the blue door of number 29 Werter Road, and from it alights a handsome, smooth, dark man with curly black hair and a moustache to match, and very black eyes. His silk hat of an incredible smooth newness glitters over his glittering hair and eyes. His overcoat is lined with astrakhan, and this important fact is casually betrayed at the lapels and at the sleeves. He wears a black silk necktie with a small pearl pin in the mathematical centre of the perfect rhomboid of the upper part of a sailor's knot. His gloves are of slate colour. The chief characteristic of his faintly striped trousers is a crease, which seems more than mortal. His boots are of a glassy kid, and as smooth as his cheeks, which themselves have a fresh, boyish colour. No such costly and beautiful male has ever yet stood on Alice's doorstep.
Oh,
is this Mr. Leakes?
Yes.
I've come about pictures. Is Mr. Leake in? May I see him in his studio?
Oh, well, will you come this way?
Gladly.
Henry, here is a gentleman come to see you about pictures.
Good morning, Maitre. I must apologise for breaking in upon you, but I've come to see if you have any work to sell. My name is Oxford, and I'm acting for a collector.
Oh.
Yes. Is this a recent work in the window?
Yes. It's of Putney High Street at night. Do you like the two omnibus horses stepping out of that dark side street?
Yes. They're like sculpture.
Oh, why don't you stand closer?
Alice, please. Mr. Oxford looks like he's accustomed to looking at pictures and knows just what he's doing.
The altercation of lights is in the highest degree complex. Oh, it's excessively distinguished. May I ask, how much?
Well, what do you think?
£250?
No.
Henry!
It's promised to someone for another sum.
By the way, Maitre, I presume you have seen the portrait of Ariosto by Titian that they've bought for the National Gallery. What is your opinion of it, Maitre?
Except that it isn't Ariosto, and it certainly isn't by Titian. It's a pretty high-class sort of thing.
I hoped you would say so. My opinion.
And he swiftly passes on to Segantini, J.W. Morris, and then to Bonnard, demanding the Maitre's views. In a few moments, they are really discussing pictures. It is years since Priam has listened to the voice of informed common sense on the subject of painting, instead of puerility concerning pictures. He realizes he is exceedingly thirsty, and drinks, absorbing more, growing enthusiastic and more impassioned. And Mr. Oxford listens with ecstasy and the utmost discretion to this genius hidden away in, of all places, an attic in Putney.
So will you take £500 for that picture, then?
Well, I suppose I will.
And may I take it away with me now?
I suppose you might.
And, Maitre, may I persuade you to come back into town with me, too? There is something of particular note that I would like you to see, something that I think will give you immense pleasure, if you have an hour to spare.
Well, I suppose I might.
And with a tickling curiosity, Priam leaves with Oxford in his sleek machine that drives them into town. Turn right now and begin to walk down Werter Road in the direction the car drives.